Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 106 of the Still City Insider podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jeremy Ritz, alongside Mr. Jim Wexel, and also joining us today, Matt Steele, or Cecil. Which one should I call
Cecil.
You, Matt?
Let's go with Cecil. I don't know. We're still dropping the Steele on the website, and that's cool.
All right.
Hey, that's the only buy. You know, it takes a lot to get a byline into the system. You guys don't know half of this stuff.
That's fine.
But that byline's locked in there. So,
yep.
Well, Matt, we are excited to have you here today because it's a super important week. This is draft week. We have been waiting for this to find out who those new Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be. And we're going to get into all of that here in just a moment. And yes, we will talk about the non-informational press conference that Jim had the pleasure of attending. But let's save that for a little bit later in the show and let's get into the draft. We know we're hearing a lot of names rumored to the Steelers with that first round pick. Brian Thomas is a name that's come up here recently, but Matt, you've had two great pieces on the Insider here, this week. One looking at who the Steelers are targeting in the first and second round, and then also that Michigan piece. But let's start with you. Who are the Steelers targeting, early on here?
Well, I'm hoping offensive line, right? So one of the tackles, a center. So in that piece, I had Fuago number one, and I had Barton number two from Duke, you know, because he could play possibly tackle, but maybe center. So, you know, I'm just looking at them at one and two, but I'll be honest with you. I'll be happy. It's so close. I'd be happy with about a handful of those guys. I had a hard time really putting in a particular order, and that would be the fun. And that's fun being with here with you guys, because I would love to be in that room having the conversations of how we put this together, because I don't have all the answers and it is a crapshoot. So let's talk it out. Right. But like, I think hopefully we're in lockstep of building through the trenches.
Yeah. And just,
okay. But I mean, it's all tricky. And let's just look at Brian Thomas for one thing.
Yeah.
4.33. He's what, 6'3", 210, blocks, runs after the catch, gets deep.
Yeah.
That's a star potential. And, you know, I just watched the centers for one thing. And I watch a lot of the receivers because I'm doing my ass kicker piece tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wanted to review the centers. They just not that big of a factor in the game. So what's your case, Matt, for taking a center? You would take Graham Barton over Brian Thomas, I'm guessing.
Most teams don't prioritize center. Yeah, I would take Barton just because of the athleticism and the floor. I look at the floor of like, okay, well, let's say you get a Connor Williams or something after the draft or in August, whatever.
He could Here's play the problem with Connor Williams. He had an ACL in December.
What's that?
And Connor Williams had an ACL in December.
No, I know that. So you got to wait a while. Yeah, but I mean, they have nothing. They released Mason Cole. They're not going to get Brian Allen, who gave up 9 sacks in the last 23 games. I don't know what they have there. Are they going to rely on a rookie? Even if it was JPJ or Frazier, let's say in round two, or they trade down. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, get an offensive lineman. Like, the thing I liked about Barton was maybe he's a tackle, 33-inch arms, the numbers, 4.94. You know, his agility was better than any offensive tackle, top 10 in the league, offensive guard, you name it, it was better. And his numbers compared right with Rashawn Slater. 33-inch arms, and Rashawn Slater was second team All-Pro as a rookie at tackle. I'm not saying he can slide and move laterally, maybe like Rashawn Slater. I'm just saying, like, it opens up possibilities where, you know, it's maybe he's not a center, but, you know, Connor Williams is an example of a guy that converted and then was playing great center before he blew out his ACL, right? So,
okay. Well, what round was Connor Williams drafted?
Second round. Exactly. You know,
pick 20, man. I don't know. You know, Tomlin was asked today about how do you tell if a center has what he needs to have mentally? And he said, well, you know, if he played it early in his career, that's one thing. And I'm sure he was thinking of Barton. So maybe Barton is on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Essex said, yeah, a rookie can start at center if he's been playing like right. Pouncey was 3 years in a row.
Right.
And this guy hasn't. It's right. going to be difficult for him, even though he is really bright.
Yeah.
Ramon Foster said he's a guard. And I tell you, when I watch Barton, I think of DeCastro. He doesn't have that kind of power, but it just brought DeCastro to mind because he pulled a lot at Duke and
right.
it just looks like a guard. So yeah. they don't really need a guard. And okay.
I get it.
So I'm a little iffy about a projection at pick 20 when you need a wide receiver. Hey, I'm not happy with the position they put themselves in with the wide receiver. I know, Matt, you wanted Deontay Johnson traded. I assume when they traded their starting receiver, they had a plan other than to draft another guy in the first round. But that might be where they're stuck at. Sure. And Brian Thomas could be a great, great player.
Could be. But you know me and receivers.
Huh?
You know me and receivers. Even though he runs 4.3, it's the most dependent position on the field. And I subscribe to the Bill Walsh theory of if your team's built, then you can draft a receiver in round one. But until then, you know, he's so dependent. And so, 4.33 is very enticing at 6.3 and 2.10 and all that. And so I'm not going to kill it if they do it. If you're bringing in Arthur Smith and you want to get downhill, and you know, yes, Barton is not Frank Ragnow, because Frank Ragnow played center in college and he's not Pouncey, and I get all that, but like, you're going to try to get downhill. You got two tight ends, you're going 12 personnel and you're running outside zone and you're bending it back in with your backs and then you're running play action. And if they don't have a guy that can do that, how are we going to get this offense and this train moving? I think, to me, it starts from there. And even with the tackles, you can sort of protect them with your tight ends in the play action game. It's a tough scenario. And you got to look at it positively because they got good options, like you said, at Brian Thomas, but they can then trade down. And that's kind of where I'm at with, you know, the draft. And I read a really good piece in The Athletic talking about this study that was done a while back, and the teams know it, and it's called overconfidence versus market efficiency in the National Football League. You know, written by two scholars, and basically it's this, is that if you trade down, and it's about 20, a little over almost 20 years of data, but if you trade down, you're better off that when you acquire more assets, that teams build better. Now, you got to draft well, but I'll give you one example. It made me think, and I look back at the 49ers 1986 draft when Bill Walsh is talking about he kept trading back. And in the third round, he got Tom Rathman, Tim McKeir, John Taylor. And in the fourth round, he got Charles Haley, Steve Wallace, Kevin Fagan, and he still got Don Griffin in round six. And if you can, you know, stockpile talent, and I like it in that second, third, fourth round range. So when you hear that rumor that Brian Thomas to the Bills, you trade down to 28, you get a second round pick and you swap a third and a fourth. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I like pick swapping though, but if you can maneuver and get more second and third round picks in that area and maybe trade back in the first round and then get your center and get center value, to me, that makes a lot of sense, because what you're saying makes a lot of sense is that Barton, are you going to draft a guy who hasn't played center to play center at 20? And center, do you really want to draft at 20, right? So it's an interesting conversation. But I would love, that's why I love to trade down. But I would love to get one of those tackles too, the right tackles. And then, you know, Fuaga, if you get him at tackle, shit. I mean, if Derek Moore, if Moore ends up working out, let's say somehow, and you want to kick him into guard, you could do that. So I just build a line on both sides of the ball and let's get downhill. Let's attack people that way, because I don't want to play the quarterback carousel either. You know, fellas, like I think the quarterback is so overvalued that we play the carousel and you put too much on his plate and now we move on, you know? So if they're building through the trenches, it at least lets me know that they're going in that direction too.
So I want to harken back to a few episodes ago where we talked about the pick should be able to come in and contribute right away, because it seems like this team is trying to position itself in a way to compete this year. If you're going to take one of these centers or could be centers who don't have the experience, they're not a pure center, or one of these project tackles, is this team putting themselves in a position to compete? Not because it might take a little bit of time, but something that just came to me as we're talking through this, this might be the first year in a couple years, maybe 5 years, where there's not a clear cut target for this team at 20. Like if I go back to last year, Broderick Jones, a few years ago with Najee Harris, it was clear who this team was targeting. It was almost postmark. Doesn't feel that way this year.
I tell you, I have to agree. There's nobody really postmarked. You can't even really make the argument for right tackle, because they have a right tackle, and they're not going to move Dan Moore on the first day of training camp. They're just not going to move him to backup. Right. They're not going to move Broderick Jones over and give the job to a rookie when their two starting tackles are returning.
Right.
It's not. Right. I mean, yeah, it would shock me. Tomlin does do some surprising things, but I don't see that. So I don't know how much a right tackle, even though he might be the best player, some of those right tackles are really impressive. And they need a third tackle. And that's what happened last year. They needed a third tackle, and they drafted Broderick Jones. And the centers, you know, Zach Frazier is just not pick 20 worthy.
Right.
He's sought off. You know, Mike Webster, he could be as good as Mike Webster with all that leverage he's got going on. I just watched him and Jackson Powers Johnson again. Jackson Powers Johnson's much bigger and can move people. But Frazier's more consistent, better leverage, always. It looks like he wins every sneak. he's 6'3". That surprised me. He's 6'2 and a half or something. And 313, big enough. And, you know, Mike Webster was a fifth-round pick. He only weighed 218. But they loved his leverage. They just loved his leverage so much. Still, he went in the fifth round. I mean, 218 pounds at the time was still pretty small. Frazier can have that Webster leverage and that kind of, you know, effect, but he just doesn't look like a first round pick. He just does not. It's like, I know your boy Mikey Sandstra still, if I'm pronouncing that right, he just doesn't look like a second round pick. 5'9" corner, slot corner. There's just some guys I just can't do it at that round, and I can't do Frazier in the first round. Jackson Powers Johnson looks a little sloppy. So I watched Jeremy's boy, Cedric Bonpron. It's a nice second or third rounder. And I just watched Bo Limmer, too, from Arkansas. Everybody tells me to watch him. He's 6'5". I know Ragnow turned into a great player, and I liked him in college. And he's 6'5", right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, this guy, this Arkansas center, it looks too tall. He loses his leverage too much. And it, in the middle of the line, you know, it's too much they have to do by staying compact and using their leverage. So I don't know. The center position's a little tricky. They're going to have to get a second rounder if they can get Frazier in the second round. But anyway, you talk about trading down.
I don't think he'll necessarily be there in the second round. Detroit loves him. That's what I'm hearing.
Why? I mean, if you love him in the first round, he just doesn't look like a first rounder.
I get it. You know, but he plays, he produces, and you like the tape, and you like the leverage. And, you know, if you like the guy, what I love about that wrestling background and the leverage that he's going to play with, and the 4.5 grade point average and 3.9 in height in college, he's going to provide that work ethic and culture that I want.
Yeah, you're definitely that. But you look at him and Brian Thomas that runs a 4.33.
Right.
who's going to have the bigger effect on the game? I just don't see Zach Frazier having that kind of effect inside.
True.
Except it's a helper position too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's tough. But training there were, you know, it was the Steelers were once again undefeated and not issuing any kind of information. Don't know why we even go to this, but it's cool to see the boys. And, you know, I got to talk to Pat Meyer outside. That was fun. No information was passed there either, but he was trying to get information from me, I think. You know, what are they saying there? I'm like, man, that's not what I'm saying. But there were two things that I thought I gleaned. The first was Omar was asked about the centers, and he had a little surprise. He asked how many centers are out there. And he said, well, there's a handful. He didn't look real confident. He looked like a guy that knows he needs to grab a center early if he's going to get one. Handful, I always take to mean five. And so there's what? The three first round potential guys, Von Perron and Limmer. So there's your handful. And, you know, it's kind of shaky, but he looked like a guy who was a little surprised and we're going to have to draft a center early. That was just my intuition watching him. The other one was when Omar said, we hate to trade down from a guy that we love. So it sounds like they have 20 guys in mind. And it didn't sound like a trade down was in the offing. Yeah. Just my intuition.
Sure. I mean, rumors are rumors. And you hear about Tampa Bay or Buffalo or even, he was at 20, Arizona at one point. But yeah, it's probably not going to happen. So I think, you know, somebody's going to maybe fall down to 22 out of those tackles. I'm not saying J.C. Latham is going to be there. And it's just, you know, Fatanu, we'll see what happens. What I want.
I'd love to see Fatanu. Love to see Fatanu.
I like him.
I don't know why people keep downgrading him.
You know, he's long arms, he's 3'6", 3'17", and can move. And when he moved at the combine, I was like, wow, that guy.
I don't even know what his combine times was, but the tape, he really moves on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
So he can play. They say he might possibly be able to play center. So that's five position capable.
Right. So I just think he's going to go to Seattle. He'll probably be gone. His position coach is at Washington, is there now. And so I don't know how you pass on him. If they take an offensive lineman, they could take a pass rusher. We never know what happens. But anyway, the point in the Michigan piece and all that is you got to draft the people, right? That's number one. Now, if it's receiver or if it's offensive line, do they love football and are they going to add to the culture? Because that's what really wins championship is creating that culture. And that's why, you know, maybe I overvalue, maybe other teams overvalue Sam Vestil, but it's the ball production. It's the two-time team captain type deal.
He's definitely Mike Hilton with coverage, better coverage skills.
Right, right.
I mean, I like him a lot.
Right.
Just 5'9". But, kind of what 4'5", 3", something. So, I would like the pick, but I wouldn't. Sure. I wouldn't like it as much as you.
Yeah. You know, and I get it. And that's fine. And that's why I have somebody like a Xavier Legette a little bit ahead of him because I think, and that's kind of why I wanted to wait. In a perfect world, for me, I'm thinking like a realistic possibility is you get one of these offensive linemen. And if Legette is there at 51 at 6'1", 221, and he's running 4.39, I mean, it's the prototypical guy in an Arthur Smith system where you got the 50-50 balls that he can get, you know, and then now he's running the play action crossing routes. And then if you got athletic tackles and tight ends and you run the bubble screen with him and now he's a running back out on the perimeter.
But the word is that he's not last until 51, that he might go bottom first round.
Yeah. Well, Brugler, we just mentioned, he has him in the middle of round three. I see like varying. I saw Daniel Jeremiah had him at 50. I've heard late round one, but he's kind of one of those guys, almost like Fisky, it's all over the place, right? And so he just never.
I tell you, and watching Leggett, I have much more respect for Spencer Rattler. I had to watch, you know, I watched Leggett now a second time, and Spencer Rattler, man, he's running for his life back there. He got nothing in front of him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't bad at all. He wasn't bad throwing the ball at all. And I don't know that you pick a quarterback. They're not going to. Right. But as the second rounder, that guy, interesting.
Yeah.
But I was stunned when I looked up, because I wanted to compare the sizes of Mike Evans and Xavier Leggett, because their game seems similar. Mm-hmm. Evans is 6'5", Leggett 6'1". I couldn't believe I missed by that much. So yeah. he plays bigger than he is.
Right. He plays 6'5".
Well, I think of A.J. Brown, and, you know, he was 6'1 and a half, or 6 foot and a half, so 6'1", 226 coming out.
Yeah.
He looks fat. He ran 4.49. This kid runs 4.39.
Yeah. You're going to need a gunner, and you're going to need maybe a kick returner, but I think they have that with Patterson still. But you're going to need a gunner. They're going to need that kind of size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing with the draft too, is, you know, we have these preconceived ideas heading into the draft of where players should fall. And you have these guys who really don't fit into any box. And you know, when the draft comes, we're going to see some guys who maybe we had in the second round that are jumping into the first round. I think that's something that we have to keep in mind. But the other piece too, going back to trading down, when was the last time that that's happened in Pittsburgh? Was it for Casey Hampton? Was that the last time? 01?
Is that the last one? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the second round, they traded up. That was beautiful work.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So the likelihood of that happening probably is minuscule at this point. Because there, and like Jim has said this ever since we started this podcast, that you draft Hall of Famers, regardless of the position, unless you currently have a Hall of Famer there. But if this wide receiver is there at number 20 and you feel that he could be that guy, maybe that's the direction that they'll go. So.
All right. Well, there's smoke, there's fire too. And I hate to bring up the, but our star already, I guess, is Brandon Ayuk. Now, I don't want to do it.
The problem with smoke these days is the reporting has gotten so bad.
Sure.
So bad. And it's all on Facebook now. I mean, they've got all these fan sites on Facebook. It's just all garbage. You know, Arthur Motes says that the Steelers like Brian Thomas. Big headline.
Yeah.
Insider love. So that trade just does not make sense, Ayuk.
It doesn't. Not to pay somebody. Now he's the highest paid player on the team and he hasn't taken a snap. That's not how the Steelers do business. So it doesn't make, and I hope it's not true, but let's just, I don't want to take too much time on it because it's not, what if they swap from 21 to, or 20 to 31? And that's all they did. They didn't give up draft capital. Now they get a center down there and they get the receiver that they want, because that value, because they all use that Jimmy Johnson chart, is the equivalent of the 68th pick overall early in the third round. If you were to swap from 31 to 20, I'm not saying I want to do it. I'm just saying maybe that's a possibility that they're, because do they want, Jim, do they want, is that true? Do they want like a veteran to go next to Pickens? Or do they want to put a rookie, you know, next to Pickens? Do they want a veteran?
I am not buying any of the smoke.
I think the cost is would be too much. It'd be too great. And you don't want to sacrifice your, for me, you don't want to sacrifice your draft capital. Sure, Ayuk's a solid player, excellent player, but I just think Tomlin, it's too rich.
Tomlin said something smart today about the preponderance of receivers and corners. He said, you know, they started playing 7-on-7 year round. And I remember that's like about 5 years ago, 6-7 years ago, recently. Football has become a year-round sport, but you can't hit, so it's only the receivers and corners. So my gut told me that he thinks they can get those positions in the third round.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's relieving to me because I don't want to see it happen.
Yeah. but Dane Buechler.
So we've covered quite a bit here, guys. I think we've been going for almost 30 minutes here, so let's just kind of let's bring this to a head here. If anybody's willing to put out there where you see this team going with their first round selection, who's the player going to be?
Jim, go ahead, man. I have less faith now when we started this podcast.
Graham Barton makes a lot of sense, but I'm going to go with the Oregon State right tackle because I think Latham is ahead of him, and I think one of those guys are going to slip, and it can't be Fatanu, the left tackle. He's a left tackle, for God's sake. The horror, my opinion, and everybody disagrees with me, is the Penn State left tackle is going to fall to them, and they're going to take him the same reason Seattle took the Washington kid. The Steelers are going to take the Penn State kid. I don't really want that guy, but
yeah, did you?
I've been wrong. So, and everybody's going to hate me for knocking a Penn State. It was, I don't know. He was supposed to be highly regarded last year. I watched him. Right. I'm like, man, this guy, he don't do anything with his hands. He don't punch. And then I hear he has the smallest hands in the history of tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And so
bring him in.
He got an anchor, but it takes him a while to get that anchor down. I don't know, man. I don't know about him. I think he's going to slip to him, and he could be the guy.
Well, they didn't bring him in for a pre-draft visit, and they could have done it without giving up any of their numbers because he's local, right? So,
well, yeah, I know, but you know, Mendenhall.
Yeah,
same thing. I mean, they didn't do what they thought he would be gone, so they didn't bother with him. And maybe, you know, the Steelers didn't bother with Rod Woodson either. Noel called his guys and said, come back. Don't even go to his pro day. There's no chance we're going to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Then they fall to you, and you're like, wow. So it could be either way. Maybe they don't like him, Matt, you know,
right.
Or maybe they just think he's a top 10 guy.
We'll find out.
Yeah. So,
I'll say the right tackle from Morgan State, and in the second round, I think they'll find a way to get Zach Frazier, and then I watched a bunch of receivers today. Roman Wilson, he's got a lot of character, and so that could be a third round type, and the third round corner is Andrew Phillips. Something like that. Brownlee from Louisville. There's some good, tough. You know, I watched Ladd McConkey, and he's interesting. But, man, I watched him play Alabama. I'm like, who's this number three that will not let him breathe? Terry and Arnold. So if Terry and Arnold can slip, he's got terrible measurements and nothing special in his combine numbers. All he can do is play.
Yeah. He's a high character kid. And that's where Arizona would come into play, though, as a possible trade down. And then that's what I liked in the piece is that if I could get that 27 and 35 and guarantee, all right, now you can, but let's not get into that. Let's go to 20. I'm just going to say Bart for now. I don't think Fuaga is going to make it to 20. I wish he would. I mean, if your scenario played out, Jim, I'm doing cartwheels, you know, I'm drooling at the same time.
Yeah, but look, you got those left tackles, say the Olu and Alt and Fatanu. I mean, everybody wants a left tackle more, right? And, you know, if Fuaga doesn't fall, then maybe Latham does. That's my point is there are at least two right tackles. There's got to be, and Mims, you know, and Guyton. You know, those are good players. Those are good players.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm missing one of the right tackles, but anyway.
So we got
Fuaga. Go ahead, Matt. You have one pick. What else you got?
Yeah, I'll just go with Barton Leggett right now. It's 50-50 on Leggett. Sometimes I see him gone. Sometimes I see him there. And I'm just, well, okay, that's a great fit. And they're going to need a wide receiver with one of those first two picks, most likely. I don't think Frazier is going to be there because there's a lot of teams that need a center. And he really, if you think about it, he's the most pure center in terms of 3 years starting. JPJ only started 1 year. Younger, he's got some weight issues, had some concussion stuff. I think Frazier's going to go ahead of him. It's possible JPJ, they'll have to consider at 51. But I think if Frazier's gone, you're looking at a receiver that fits what Arthur Smith wants to do. in that round, and they're going to get an offensive lineman. Let's say Barton's on the board in round one. And then same thing, Andrew Phillips, maybe a Max Melton as a slot corner, I think, in round three. That's kind of what I'm looking at as most likely scenarios.
All right. And then I'll
Jeremy, what do you got? What do you got, Jim? You're not big on it.
Bring her home, Jer.
So I'm gonna stick with what the conversation started during the offseason, and that center. And you know, the safe pick would be to go with JPJ, Jackson Power Johnson, but I'm not. I'm gonna go with Zach Frazier at 20. I think that, you know, the Steelers have a history of valuing players and taking players earlier than other teams have them ranked. Terrell Edmonds is a great example of that. The Steelers have a history of legendary centers who are pure centers. Frazier's that guy, intelligent guy, but he's an ass kicker. And I know Jim likes ass kickers. So at 20, I'm going with Frazier. Could be completely wrong, but that's how I see it playing out.
Well, I tell you, I could look back on it and say, you know, I knew it from Omar. Omar gave it, he had a tell. I picked it up. So you got that going for you, Jeremy.
Hey, Jerry, this thing, like when Frank Ragnow was drafted by Detroit, and he was projected in the middle of round two from everybody. And it was like, whoa, how did he go at 20? I mean, that worked out pretty well for them, right? So there you go. Maybe that's a similar scenario.
Well, the beautiful thing is we're going to find out here in just a couple of days, because, man, it is draft week, and there aren't too many weeks that are as beautiful as this one. So I know I probably speak for the three of us here when I say that we are excited. But that's going to do it for 106. Jim, anything you want to mention before we wrap up here?
The front office has extended our sale, half price sale. And through the draft. So it's Steel City Insider, half price.
Awesome.
I don't know what else to say. I'm not a good marketer, but and also Jeremy, we'll be here next Tuesday, right, to talk about the new players. Next
Tuesday we will be covering all the new Pittsburgh.
Find out who's right and who's wrong.
That's right. Who's gonna win that bet?
Which bet?
That's the one that we made before we came on the show.
Okay.
We didn't make one. It's making the audience think that we have like this crazy bet going. So you have to wait till episode 107 to see what that is. So Matt, anything from you that you want to plug or give a shout out to?
No, you always ask me about like social media.
I didn't even mention social media
anything like
time.
That. I just say, you know, you go to YouTube and put my first and last name in. I'm going to be putting stuff in there in the summertime, though. It's not going to be football stuff, but I got about 2.5 subscribers right now because I don't put any content out there. But this summer, there's going to be stuff rolling.
Well, that's for training.
That's
video,
for training, right? And help. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? Send those 2.5 subscribers our way too, because we're edging up to 700. We got to get to 1,000 by the
creeping.
Start season. 2.5.
We're creeping. And yeah, we want to thank
you. We'll try.
We want to thank Matt for coming on here today. We want to thank all of you, the viewers, the listeners. We appreciate you so much. Please comment, like, subscribe, share with your family and friends, and we will see you back here next week. The post-draft episode 107 of the Steel City Insider podcast. Jim, Matt, have a fantastic week.
Okay, guys. Take care.
All right.